I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I can't read the passion history of our Lord Jesus without thinking that on that night, that Thursday night, so long ago, there was a palpable tension as Jesus and the 12 disciples sat around the Passover table. There was an uneasy expectancy as they thought about what was coming. Surely every Passover meal that the disciples were privileged to have with Jesus was special, but this one was extraordinary. It was different. Two of the disciples, Peter and John, had already been led on this kind of mysterious, miraculous errand by Jesus. He had told them that they were going to find a man that they had never met who was going to lead them to a house owned by a man they never met, to a room they had never been in for the supper, for the Passover meal. And of course, one of them, one of the 12, Judas, he had already met with Jesus' enemies and had already agreed on a price to betray Jesus. And I would imagine that our Savior just looked different that night as they sat around the table, as he contemplated in his sinless soul what it would mean to become sin for us. And then he broke the silence. He broke the uncomfortable silence with these words. I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Every Lenten season, every Holy Week is a pilgrimage, right? It's a journey to get to the cross and the empty tomb. But before we get there, let's just spend a moment in that upper room. And let's gather around the Lord's table. And let's realize that as he gives us that special meal that we still celebrate today, he says to us, I have eagerly desired to have this meal with you. Eagerly desired. Don't you see how he wants us to feel his sorrow and feel his love and feel his hope? Think of the sorrow that must have been there in his perfect heart. He's the God-man. He knew. He knew what lay ahead. He knew that in a matter of hours he would begin to suffer as the condemned criminal that he was. Condemned, of course, not for his crimes, but for our crimes, our sins. And he knew that betrayal had already occurred within the heart of Judas, and he knew the forsaking of him that was about to take place by the other 11, as well-meaning as they were on that Thursday night to support them. To support him, Jesus knew. He knew that he was to go it alone. He knew that the scriptures were not written about him in vain, which say He is the man of sorrows. And yet, in the depth of that sorrow, a sorrow that I don't know if any of us can fully understand it, in the depth of that sorrow, what did he want to do more than anything else? He eagerly desired to have this meal with a bunch of broken, sinful disciples. He's not the man of sorrows anymore. He will not bring sorrow to the table tonight. What sorrow will you bring to the table tonight? Is it the loss of a loved one? Someone with whom you spent last Easter, but not this Easter? Is it the wound of someone who has forsaken you? Is it the guilt of all of those times that you've gone your own way, that you followed your own path and not the Lord's path? And then you begin to wonder, is there a place at his table for someone who is as lonely and broken and wandering as me? And what does he say to you and to me? I have eagerly desired to have this meal with you. In his sorrow that night, and in whatever sorrow you bring tonight, let's have this meal with him. Because when we do, it's the ultimate expression of his love. We've been following John's gospel in these midweek Lenten services. And in John's gospel, chapter 13, we know that what Jesus did as the disciples entered that upper room was to wash their feet, stoop down and wash their feet. And wasn't he showing them that what we're about to do here, this meal that we are about to have, is not so much about what you're going to do for me. It's about what I do for you. And then he says it. He says it. He says, take and eat. This is my body given for you. And take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. The very holy things by which Jesus would win their forgiveness, he offers to them in that meal. His body and his blood, so that they can know, so they can be absolutely certain that they are forgiven whenever they eat that meal. Isn't that love? Have you forgotten that he loves you? Oh, that might be too much, right? To say that we would ever forget that Jesus loves us. But when there are hard times, when we go through troubles, our security in his love begins to fray a bit. And we start to wonder why his love doesn't just fall upon us as generously as we think it should. Tonight, he says, I've eagerly desired to have this meal with you. You see, his is a love that bids us to come to the table not so much to honor him, but to receive from him. his body and blood as the certainty of our salvation, without asking for certain virtues in return, without looking for us to pay for his love in some way. He simply gives it. This is for the forgiveness of your sins, he says. You can't get greater love from Jesus Christ than at this table. And one last thing. In the way that Jesus invites you to his table tonight, he is giving you a hint of the hope that lies beyond this night. On that night, that Thursday night, so long ago, Jesus peered through his crucifixion and he looked past his resurrection and he looked beyond his ascension into heaven, and he said this about this meal: I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. You see, there's a goal. There's a hope that he's putting out there for us with this meal that he so eagerly desires to have with us. The communion with God that we have through the Lord's Supper, and the communion with one another that we have through the Lord's Supper, is just a foretaste of the wedding banquet of the Lamb that all disciples of Jesus will have forever. So find in his supper, my dear friend, find in Jesus' supper a hope that's for you forever. I have eagerly desired on that dark, dismal night, Jesus could think of nothing else than being with his disciples and giving them his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And tonight it's the same. He wants to give his body and blood in with and under this bread and wine when we come to this table. No longer the man of sorrows, now he's the Lord of glory, and yet he stoops down to us and he says, here it is. I want to be with you. I love you. I forgive you. Take it. Receive it. Feel it. Believe it. Amen. Let us pray. God's word proclaims, and we believe, that in this supper we receive his very body, as he said, his very blood for sinners shed. A precious food is this indeed. It never fails us in our need, a heavenly manna for our soul, until we safely reach our goal. Amen.
This message was a production of St. Marcus Lutheran Church. For similar content, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or our YouTube channel. For more information about how to support our urban gospel ministry in Milwaukee, please visit stmarcus.org.